Hey everyone, welcome to the Grief Informed Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Garcia, and this is a place where I bring you authentic conversations with people who are willing to share their journey through seasons of grief. No matter your cultural upbringing, societal conditioning, or faith practice, grief affects us all. Whether you're dealing with a loss, a diagnosis, a broken heart, or the everyday stressors of life, or love someone who is, these conversations are here to support you in that process. So be sure to check out the show notes for potential trigger warnings. And whether you're very comfortable with or deeply avoidant of grief and its many responses, you are welcome here. Thank you for being here, and now on to the episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Grief Informed Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Garcia, and today I have with me Lila Dilla, who is a women's mentor and founder of the Heart Space Community, which is a group of women healing through relationship and feminine initiation. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm so good to be here. Long awaited.
Glad yes. And for those that don't know Lila, I wanted to share something that she wrote. Gives an example of why I adore this woman. Where within you has love not reached yet? Another way of asking, where do you hold judgment, criticism, or hate for yourself? Wherever love doesn't live, neither does your power. Read that again. Wherever love doesn't live, neither does your power. If there's any place within you that love doesn't reign, then you do not have access to power. Power is awakened by relationship, intimacy, and the presence of love. We do not have a healthy relationship with ourselves. We do not have intimacy, and we do not have love. If we do not have love, then we do not have power. For me, love and power can be interchangeable. Our job as awakening holy women is to be devoted to cultivating healthy relationships with ourselves on every level, showing up to know ourselves well, and choosing to bring love to every place it may not have touched before. As we consistently bring love, our inner power is restored. As we are restored, we can finally love others from an overflowing place instead of showing up broken and depleted and unconsciously begging others to fill our voided spaces. It's your job to know where you need love, and it's your job not to be a lazy lover. No one else would want that, and so odd are you don't want that either. Let's begin seeing our relationship with self as fundamental for all other relationships. Be consistent, be compassionate, and be courageous in the delivery of wholehearted acceptance and love. As we do this, we reawaken our natural power. That is Lila. So powerful. It's good, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah.
Okay, before we jump in to what brought you to this work with women, can you tell us a little bit about your cultural upbringing and background?
Yeah, I haven't heard many people read my writing before, so that was special to me. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
I grew up in a really tiny town in central Florida, in the middle of nowhere on a dirt road. My mother is Greek, and my dad is a surfer boy from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I was raised as like a free-range child. I was homeschooled until I went to college. And, my parents have a catering company that they ran from our house, a big commercial kitchen beneath our house. So I was, either like climbing trees, finishing my schoolwork as fast as possible, or helping them with catering from a very young age. I have two sisters. I'm the middle of three daughters, and, my parents are still together. They've been together for 42 years.
Wow.
Definitely a lot of love. I wouldn't say it's the healthiest relationship, but you know, they're still together and they still have a lot of love. My parents were kind of the black sheep of their families. And so in a lot of ways did things their own way, and for the better or worse of that, in some ways that was really rebellious and cool. In other ways, they lacked a lot of support they needed, which fractured what I needed when I was young in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I was homeschooled till I went to college, and then college I did mainly online, and I've been traveling for a lot of my life. It still kind of am, starting at like 17. So is that enough?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how much. I'm finding out about my ancestry right now. I think my Greek heritage is pretty cool, but I don't know enough about that to really dive into it. But
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the catering, what kind of food did your family make?
They made everything, but it was definitely Mediterranean influenced because my mom's, you know, Greeks are one of their main things they do is cook. So yeah. I don't really have that in my blood, but they can cook everything. Both my parents are great cooks, and it was just something that I also grew up doing. It wasn't until I went to college, actually, that I realized that not everyone knows how to cook. That was
right.
And me, I was like, you don't know how to roast vegetables? What are you talking about?
That was right.
That was the second language we learned was being in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which for your retreats, I've seen that the food is just as much of a staple as the community.
Totally. Oh, yeah. It's a huge part. I was just telling that to someone yesterday. I was like, I'm very happy about that influence of my young life, like being part of planning weddings and like food management and event coordinating, and I'm a swell hostess, if I may. So there's
as
much as you're getting a transformational experience, I also like deeply care about delicious food and like quality of a vibe and cleanliness and like the ambiance of a place and timeliness and efficiency. Those are like extra accoutrements that make retreats really good.
Yes, they do. Makes it amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the second question I was going to ask, I wondered if you knew your Enneagram number. You said you did not, but you are willing to take a test later. Like that's okay.
Yeah, I'll do it. I just need another nudge, but yes.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. So the writing that you wrote about wanting to know ourselves and being able to go to depths with ourselves so that we can be in relationship, you specifically working with women, what was it about women's work or what brought you to this work, I should say, that just felt like this is my calling. This is what I'm to do.
Let's see if I can track it back.
How far back?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I mean, I started teaching yoga when I was 19, which is far too young to really be teaching anything. But just prior to that, I had an abortion that was extremely difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the women I know, there's some sort of difficulty in that. And I had the abortion and then did a yoga teacher training right after that. And then for the next, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years was in a really big process of healing the somatic, energetic, emotional pain of that kind of process. For me, mm-hmm. It was a trauma. And because of the orientation around wanting to heal within my body and within my womb and wanting to heal shame and regret and grief and loss, all oriented around not becoming a mother, was all just kind of compounding back towards the feminine and back towards women. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was a first eruption of my like devotion to understanding how to heal within a woman's body, in a woman's body that had experienced trauma, not just that, but also younger sexual trauma and then that as well. And how I couldn't do it alone, one.
Yeah.
And I needed to do it with women, a lot of it.
Mm.
So I would say that was the first thing that got me curious, because I was just in so much pain that I was like insatiable to figure out how to reconcile the pain that I was feeling and the shame, internalized shame as well. Because my experience of having an abortion was that I couldn't displace the pain on anyone. There was no one else that made the choice for me. There was no other place outside of me that I could put it. And so it rattled around in my system for a long time. While it tried to find a place to to relieve, to move, to process. And it disconnected me from myself for a very long time, but then it also kind of motivated my search for wholeness and returning back to my body and its sacredness and healing my wounds around the feminine, my womb, and all that it means to be a woman. So yeah, I would say that was the initial catalyst to framing it within femininity and womanhood. And then another piece is I started attending retreats when I was really young. Maybe 17 was the first one that I went on. And then I started leading retreats when I was 23, because I knew that when people came together in a smaller group and stepped out of their the kind of like regular way of their life, a container was set to where they could really kind of like fast track some of the healing that they were looking for, because they finally were able to focus on the thing that was like right there for them, but usually were just too busy for that. And I think something that I am just aware of is that a lot of those retreats, there was mainly women. There, in the beginning, there were some men that would attend as well. And I work with couples and some men, but the main part of my focus is women now. And it was just primarily women. And there was something super special about having a group of women, because there's sitting in a circle and gathering together kind of awakens this like ancient way of being with one another that's really lost in our society now. We don't really like being one-on-one, much less actually sitting within a circle and coming together in ritual or ceremony and actually intimacy creating processes. It can be like the scariest situation ever, but I was feeling into this magic that came, that would happen when we would gather. And it just made sense to me that I'm in a woman's body, and I've gone through various specific scenarios in my life of needing healing and reintegration. And like, I know how to teach from this place because I've lived through it.
Right.
And I think there's something really special about that. I think there's something really special about being able to share from a place of experience. That's what I mean. Versus, you know, I could study something all day long and have a bunch of letters and numbers behind my name, but if I lived through something and I've truly alchemized it inside of my body, my capacity to share about it is embodied and far more simple, because it's actually part of who I am versus a far-reaching theoretical idea that I might be able to just, you know, speak with language to you, versus like actually getting something in your body and be able to transmit it by lived experience. So I felt like I had a lot of that to give. Like, I've lived through a lot of these situations that a lot of women are suffering with, and I feel like it's my responsibility and duty to be able to create spaces where you can also come in and receive this kind of healing or this kind of integration or just this kind of space for love to be present again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you feel safe around women in the beginning there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a huge feat. It isn't our natural inclination towards one another unless we've done work to learn that again.
Before we go into the medicine, what do you think, what are you seeing in our culture that as women that we're dealing with that's leading us away from community and connection with one another?
Everything. Yeah. I mean, yikes. Let's see. Well, I think like the main thing that keeps us away from one another is our unattended to wounds from the way that we were raised and like our initial imprint with women or girls when we were younger, our sisters, our mothers, and then also generational trauma that's been passed down that's just stuck in our tissue, actually.
Yeah.
It's like part of our DNA for hundreds, thousands of years to distrust and envy or compete or hate one another, or just not have a sense of closeness the way that we used to in ancient times. And we could dive into like the burning of the witches and how much like sister wounding happened there. That's a whole thing. I won't even go into that, but like, that's good to look at that. Like, not that long ago, we were like set against each other for simply being midwives and medicine women and healers, what we're naturally made to do. At least a lot of us have that orientation deep within us to care and to nurture. And at one point in time, that was seen as
a threat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so there's like an explosion of pain that happened as like a time stamp at that time. And then that's continued on for generations. And depending on our lineage, there's specific wounds that have been passed down of betrayal and fear and distrust and jealousy and competition and all of that. So I would say the main thing that keeps us from leaning into one another in a genuine way, in like a real authentic way, is our unprocessed pain and trauma that's stuck within us that simply becomes a projection onto anyone that we see.
Yeah.
And it's quite easy to trigger each other nowadays because we all have so many wounds stuck inside of us that it almost doesn't matter how you show up to a relationship with women. There's going to be something that's fired inside. And unless we have the skill set relationally to recognize and take responsibility for what's happening within us, we'll constantly project that onto others. And then it'll be a separation.
Yeah.
Between you and someone who could possibly be your greatest ally.
Right.
You know, so it's a, the main thing is, yeah, internal wounds we haven't been taken responsibility for, and that we don't have the spaces to actually process them. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's like all this is undone inside and firing off and being triggered and keeping us separate. But the thing we need is the thing we're afraid of.
Right.
Other women to hold us in containers that are really well held and processes that expose our pain and actually integral guidance to move through that. And another piece is, like, I think we also lack in eldership in men and women, just elders in general. There are some good elders, but I'm in my early 30s and, you know, I don't have a lot in my life, and I'm someone who's really wanted a lot of them. And I would say that there's been definitely a couple of generations that, like, it isn't passed down the way that it was. We aren't initiated into maturity and communal ways of living and being and relating. We're very lone wolf, singular oriented, nuclear family, individual and individuated, and I need no one. And then most of us are lonely, disconnected, and terrified of each other. Devoid of the one thing that would bring us, like, ease and peace, is to know that we're not alone.
I love that. And which I can speak to the terrified of women, which I think is so shocking to me, because I wasn't aware. I was one of those completely oblivious to the fact that I even had wounds that were preventing me from closeness and connection with women in a true, like, intimate relationship, vulnerability, showing up in that way. Because and when I found out, it was because I had put on my what I wanted for the following year, my list at the beginning of the year, and I was like, I want to join a women's group. Like, I'm ready for community, because the community, the last time I experienced community with women, there was a lot of wounding that happened. It came and from a lot of people. I would also speak in the South, where I'm from. A lot of our introduction into community with women is in a faith community, whether it's the church we go to or attend. Church in the South is akin to, I mean, like, it's just, you do. Okay, everybody. So that's your introduction. And so if there are wounds there, a lot of people, if they may not realize it, but for me personally, I didn't realize, other than I didn't want to go back. Okay, I didn't want to go back to that space, but I knew I was craving in connection with women. I was a doula and childbirth educator for 10 years. I love women. I love women's work, but I could tell shortly after my divorce and the wounds that I had from having to leave community and not receive that same support, I just wasn't interested. And then when I finally was, I said, I want to join a women's group. I'd seen yours. I had seen the Heart Space community, been following you for years. And I was just like, I didn't do it. But that was 2023 when it first went on my list. And that whole year, I did not join. It was like a nope. Every time I tried to even, like, let me, no, like a nervous system shutdown. That's not happening. But what did happen is I did find Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And I found her book, Women Who Run with Wolves. And I feel like that's where God said, okay, you're not quite there yet, but this will help you get there. And that book was so sacred, and I think is a must read for every woman that wants to just understand the beauty of who she is and who we are as a collective. And that laid the foundation for me to fall in love with what it is that our purpose is as women and what we give to each other in community. And so then 2024 hit, and I asked Traver, a little mutual friend. I love that I could say that. But I said, do you know of any women? Because here's what would happen is I would look at his men's gatherings and I would just go, that's so powerful. Like, these men are sharing deep things. They're getting emotional with each, you know, around each other. And holding that space. And then when I saw the women doing it, I was like, no, that doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw your group and he said, you've got to look at Leela's. Who do you recommend? And he said, Leela. And I was like, duh, I've been following her for years. And when I joined and I finally joined, pulled the trigger. And what for me was just the absolute sign and seal of, yes, this is it, was your pillars of participation video that you showed us to all those who join. And it was your, as you say, your social expectations, like, hey, try to show up this way in the group because everybody else here is already showing up this way. So why don't you a conscious participation, as you call it, of this is the way we're structuring the space. And when you read, there are 8 of them. And when you went through them, I was like, yes, oh my gosh, this is what it's like to feel safety around women or in any relationship that you're in. And it just sealed the deal for me and was like a no-brainer. Okay, this is safe. Even if my body, if my nervous system was still wanting to throw up every time I posted originally, or like share vulnerably, there's fear there still, but my body could relax with what felt safe. And then the vulnerability could show up. Can you talk us through some of those pillars of participation?
I'm like, I'm gonna have to look them up. Will you read them? Yes, I mean, I know what they are, but I'll read them,
and then you just give me your snippet on it for.
Before you go into it, though, I love that you said like it created the safety for me to be able to relax here, and so that I could be vulnerable.
Yeah,
and I think that there's something that is important to me. And I'm in women's work and I'm all about the feminine healing, but I'm actually mostly about wholeness, which is finding a balance between the masculine and feminine and in an intermarriage between the two. And for me personally, on my journey, it actually took me a while to get into like the feminine world and like, because I really wasn't like a goddess fairy. Like I just didn't see the archetype of woman or feminine that made sense to me. And it wasn't, Traver was one of the first people that was like, you need to read, we were in Costa Rica riding bikes down to this beach and I like burped really loud. And he was like, you're just like the wildest woman I've ever met. And I was like, yeah, and he was like, have you read Michaela Boehm's book yet? Wild Woman's Way. And I was like, no, I should probably read that. So I read that. And then that started my track towards more of like the wild and like the way that I could connect with the feminine, which was not the way that I saw it done by other people. And now, years into this, integration and wholeness is really what we're looking for. And the feminine aspect in all of us is so expansive and ever-changing and like fluid and free and feeling and deep and dark and mysterious that if there isn't a container for that, a solid container for that, nobody feels good stepping into a zone like that. And so it's really important for me in any context, whether I'm working with somebody one-on-one or a retreat or within the heart space community, that there are guidelines, there are guidelines and there's a container in which we all navigate. If it's out of this, it doesn't belong here. And we're going to call you back into the relational space where we all exist. And that's actually like very firm. Then that's the masculine part of what we're doing there. It isn't just come in here and you can say whatever you want and you can treat people however you want and you can blast off whatever you want and you can feel whatever. Like, we need to be responsible actually with the feminine. That's the job of the masculine, is to protect, to celebrate, to hold. And we all have that quality and energetic inside of us. And actually we need to be really mature with that. And the more mature we are with that, the more mature we can be in our femininity, which is expression and feeling and depth and mystery, regardless of what body you're in. And so I just wanted to comment on that, that it, one of the ways that we're afraid of being with women is that we just fear the feminine in general. Like, we have learned as a culture to distrust the feminine altogether for a really long time. Anything that can't be named or contained or like can't be predicted, it's ever changing, it's dark, it's mysterious, it's the unknown, it's what you can't see, it's what you can feel, it's what you can't see or label. And like, we don't trust that as a society. And so that is one way that we'll veer away from this. And the only way that we can veer towards it completely and like give ourselves to the process of feminine initiation is to have a solid holding in where it happens. And so that's what these were birthed from. So yes. I kind of remember them, but I won't remember them in order. So if you bring them up, we can chat about them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Number one, know and remember your value inside the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple enough.
Yeah. You said your story is important. Yeah. Knowing your value. Yeah. Anything to add on that comes to mind?
Like one of the main wounds and ways in which we don't want to show up in community is that we feel we're not worthy to.
Mm.
We forget that we actually have something to contribute to a whole. We forget we're part of a whole. We get so stuck in our smallness and our self-centeredness that we forget to center in the self and then participate in something far bigger than us. There's never a moment where we aren't connected to something bigger where our contribution matters. Our thoughts matter, our feelings matter, our stories matter, who we are matters, what we're doing matters. But the forgetfulness of this, it causes disconnection and loneliness and unworthiness. It's like, whoa, actually, a community is made up by everybody, not one person. It's everybody. So the way you show up fills the container with the feeling, the felt sense, the potency that's the feminine. So it's value and worth is remembering that we're part of something. We have something to contribute.
Yeah. Number two, view everyone as whole and complete.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one to hold because we're all going through some sort of shitstorm at some point. Doesn't mean we have to go through them all the time, but the feminine cycle of initiation and just like the way that our world works and way that we don't trust is this cyclical way of life. Where you'll be we can be on a high, and then we're going to go back down into a low, and then we're going to come up again and rebirth. We're going to be in a high, and then we're going to go back into a low. And holding the frame of wholeness hold the frame of wholeness behind the cyclical patterns of life. Because everybody's going to go through ups, downs, sideways, inside out. Like we're life itself is like a washing machine. We're on an evolutionary journey where there's never going to be a one static place that you find. And I find that to be such a relieving orientation to remember that I could be going through something really crazy or just like unbelievable or deeply painful, but those that I'm sharing with are not going to see me as broken.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to hold me as whole and also really stay with me in a process that I might need real witnessing or love or empathy through and not like, pity me and coddle me. Those are feelings I'm not a super fan of. I want to be held as like my highest self and also honored in the depth of my pain at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, go ahead.
No, I was no fixing. You said not a place where we're fixing each other. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say like one piece of that is it also like relieves the part of women and all people that feel that we need to fix. It's like if somebody's going through a shitstorm and we're listening and our mind is set on the fact that I need to somehow have an answer for you.
Yeah.
That will be so strenuous. I won't be able to do it. I'm going to fail. Like there's so many ways that I just can't show up for that kind of relationship where I'm here to fix everybody's problems.
Yeah.
But if I don't have to fix your problems and actually my job is to feel you, to understand you, to gather information, to let your world be true to me, that's, I can do that any day. If you happen to find an answer, great. But my meaning, thinking, the over responsibility that we take for one another can cripple us inside of relationships. We just won't show up at all. It's like, I don't need you to fix me. Actually, I just need you to love me and be present with me. That's it. We all are capable of that.
Yeah.
So it resigns people from an inappropriate placement of relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Number three, know that you receive as much as you give. This one is, I've learned a lot from this one. A lot. Well, the phrase, I don't know who quoted it. I'm going to mess that up, but that said, the more you share, the more it works. Yeah. And that has stuck with me.
Alexandra Moga. Yeah. She shared that.
Alexandra. So. Yeah. The more you do this, the more you come into this space and the community. And for those that are listening that aren't in a women's community, that this is just these are your friends. These are the people that you want to invest in. The more that you're willing to show up there, the more you're willing to share, the more it works. The closeness that you're after comes through that sharing, comes through that participation. And so the knowing that you receive just as much as you give in this space, that's reciprocity. That's how it's supposed to work. And a lot of us, and for me personally, have not felt that consistently. And so to know that I can trust when I receive, or when I give, I'm going to receive as much back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. I use some of Dewey Freeman's language of like within our community space and within any relationship, when we give, there's an aspect of that that's like creating an opening.
Mm.
You're sharing our heart, and you're literally like rolling out a stage for someone else to come and meet you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's amazing. You know, like there's a way that our egos can be entitled to think that we have to wait for others to initiate everything. It's like, yeah. What if we just flip that? We don't have to overshare. We don't have to share our whole life stories. We don't have to be burdened by it. But it's like, if there's a longing in the heart for connection, then mm-hmm. like create the opening by opening yours and see yeah. who comes. And in the context of a community where that's what we're trying to do, it sets a stage over and over again for a nicer, more intimate meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've loved the way that you've shown up inside of the space. You posted aww. Recently and everybody was popping off. I loved it.
I'm like, oh, I get to be myself. Okay, I know. Let me just ask this good to know you question I ask yeah. everybody. There's so many amazing women in the group. And I'm like, I can't possibly get to know them all in just the app format. But even, yes, it's a space and people dive right in and tell like what they're going through, what in the ways in which they would love to receive support. But even just getting to know you is playfulness and being able to be invited to be myself meant being playful and asking.
Yeah. And I love reading people's responses. You just ask a question, but there's such a beautiful flavor to who everyone is and how they are. And
yeah.
You know, online women's community is an interesting thing to be creating.
Right.
Anymore. So like Zoom really isn't everybody's favorite thing. And there's something really precious about what we're sharing and creating. You know, it'd be great if everybody that was in there just lived in the same town and we could, you know, have cacao on the porch every Thursday night. But like, that's not true. My greatest friends don't live near me.
Yeah.
And so there is something really beautiful. It doesn't mean I don't see them. We do gather in person also, but there's something really beautiful about working to create sacred relations, even if we aren't close, for the sake of something more true being touched in us. Because we don't have the context and safety set up in a lot of our relationships yet. So what we're really doing when we come together, the intention with the heart space is to like learn the skill set around right relationship, so that then it can, like, it's a place where we come and so we can go back and pollinate, in essence.
Yeah.
We get like nourished here and like learn how to be ourselves as best we can, and relationship skills and true contact and development of intimacy and vulnerability. And then we start to bring those ripples out into our community that might not be on the online platform. But
right. Yeah. It's beautiful. Okay. Number four, contact is always the answer.
Yeah. Simple as that. You had Dewey on, right? Did he talk? He talked about contact.
Yes. But review contact over time. Tell us
So contact over time equals connection. Connection over time, relationship. Relationship over time, it creates intimacy.
Hmm.
If it's consistent and dependable, contact create connection.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent and dependable, then relationship, then intimacy. And one way I like to describe contact is if you've seen the movie Avatar and they connect their ponytails together.
Yeah.
The animals are with each other and it's like this sinking of a system. I also would, in my language, say it's when like our hearts start to resonate with one another and there's an actual true meeting. One of his definitions, a shorter one, is that contact is where an embodied moment, like one embodied moment where our boundaries touch another, our contact boundaries touch another, sometimes physical, but our energetic, emotional, and spiritual boundaries touch another.
Mm-hmm.
Noting very specifically that it's not mental. It's not about mental meeting. And sadly, a lot of our relationships that aren't actually relationships are intellectual or mental based nowadays, very logical and accomplishment oriented, or we're up in our heads and out of the embodied experience of being together. So contact is an embodied moment where we are with each other.
Mm.
And a lot of us don't even know how to make that. One, we don't know how to have contact with ourself, where we're really seated in the self. And because we don't know how to do that, we don't know how to do that with each other. And so then intimacy can never be reached, because if contact isn't the building block of all of our relations, then there's no way that intimacy can be there. And contact is also something that we either learn or don't learn how to do from our forming relationships when we were young. So this is also Dewey-influenced work around our attached, the ways that we have or have not learned to attach to people. Mm-hmm. And if we, depending on the way that we were raised, if we received food, touch, and movement, but no contact, then we've learned to attach to the food, touch, and movement and not people.
Yeah.
And so attaching or learning how to connect or make contact with people can be terrifying. And something that Dewey said to me one time was that, well, a model of healing that he teaches by is that healing happens when we disturb homeostasis and then we find a new ground again. So like when you're saying you're entering into the space and you could feel the like fear come up, it's like that's in some ways, that's a very good thing actually, because the homeostasis of your norm, just because normal doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy, it's disturbing it, some fears coming up, but then you stayed in contact with yourself and made it to a new place where now it's not as scary anymore. That's healing. Right.
Yeah.
And he said one time, this is one of the first times I was with Dewey, he said that contact itself disturbs homeostasis.
Hmm.
Because it's so unfamiliar to most of us to actually just meet another.
Yeah.
Not mentally, not be in projection, not deflect, not be drunk, not gossip, not like, not leave our bodies and move up into some sort of like superficial. It's to actually just be with one another. You don't even have to say anything. Will disrupt our homeostasis enough that we'll become a better person, for lack of better words, like within a moment of just simply being with somebody who's attuned to you.
Yeah.
It's the deepest, most natural thing for us to do. And sadly, we don't know how to do it. So that guideline that contact is always the answer is all kinds of stuff comes up when you're in relationship. Leading a community of women, of hundreds of women, it's like all kinds of shit comes up all the time. And a lot of the women in the space are my close friends too. So the amount of like hard conversations and feedback and like navigating things and the amount of evolution that has happened for me while leading the space is insane, because it's constant relationship everywhere I turn.
Yeah.
And if I weren't in contact, it would be very easy to move into self-judgment, or I'm not doing this right, or what do people think of me, or which is all mental, meaning I'm not in contact with me or them, and I can't actually hear what they're saying or evolve through the relationship based on what's happening. So, and so much of our problems, I'll say, or issues or ruptures that happen inside of relationship are we try to handle them through a mental process. We move out of our bodies. And we oftentimes move into retroflexion or shame or judgment, and you can't be in judgment and contact at the same time. So the answer is always just contact. Just drop back down into the body. Mm. When we're in contact with ourselves and then another, and we're still enough to feel it, to me, and well, this is also what Dewey would say, a third thing opens up between two people when you're in contact, a we space. Mm. And I would call it like a creative field between two people. And so if there's an issue, let's just say that there's an issue between me and someone in the heart space. If I'm not in contact, then there's no creativity around how we're going to move to a new ground with each other. Our tails are not connected and there's nothing can happen. We're just going to stay in a mental projection of like, you're wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I can drop back down into my body, which only one of us needs to do that to create an opening for the other, we just need one person able to make contact. And then it will influence the other body to meet us, possibly. Usually it does. So if I'm able to drop back down into it, it takes the like cascade or like cornucopia of shit that might be happening in my mind. Hope I can cuss on this podcast. And it just drops it back to like a real tangible moment of relationship where it's like, now I'm just feeling my feelings and I'm feeling you. And we're here in this moment. And if we can stay in that for long enough, some sort of creative idea will come forth where you're honored and I'm honored and together we have a new way of being.
Right.
And so mainly it's a building block of all relationships, and it also helps navigate shit that comes up between two people.
Right.
Like thoroughly navigate it where relationship is better on the other side of it, that we together disturbed homeostasis and then repaired and had a new way of being with relationship and attachment being stronger on the other side.
Yes. Yeah. And what's the quote that Dewey says about the goal of contact, or to come through on the other side. What is that?
To secure attachment is created when you go through a hard time together and come out on the other side.
Yeah. So, and you,
it's going through a hard time together and it's coming, going through a hard time and coming out okay.
Yes. That's actually, it. That you can go through, you're going to have the conflict, or you're going to have the moments where there's an intense conversation or a need for a conversation, or it might feel intense. Being able to do that and come through on the other side is what creates the attachment of security and feeling like, okay, we've got this, we can do this.
Yeah. That fundamentally is what creates strong relationships and relationships that you want to be a part of. That I want to be a part of. I know one big initiation process in all of this women's work and opening the heart space and being in groups of women is that I know that I need to be in relationship where my humanity is allowed to exist and that the human experience is allowed and permitted and held, that I'm not expected to be one type of way. I'm not expected to be perfect, that I can make mistakes, and that my relationships are like a spider web that I'm a part of that hold me and make me and stretch me and but they're there, that my relationships are secure, and that I have a freedom to go through my life experience without them collapsing, that there's a strong bond of love between me and those I'm related to, from the closest connections, you know, my immediate circle, to far stretching, you know, a woman that is on Instagram that I maybe chatted with twice that I don't even know, but I want there to be permission for full expression. And the, like, I don't know, the human experience is rough, man.
It is. Just,
like, be honest. And I need relationships that can hold that. And so I act as a woman in relationships that can hold that for other people too. Like, it's both things. Like, I know that I need the women that stand around me to be strong enough to hold me when I'm fucking up, when I need course correction, when I'm falling apart, when I'm shining, when I'm beautiful, when I'm like hilarious, when I'm like not making any fucking sense. Like, I need there to be like a dependability in that so that I can be okay. And then also I require myself to show up in that same kind of way of like, today's not your greatest day, but I'm here with you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I get it, because I'm not always on my greatest day. And like, today you're shining and I'm still here, like still leaned in, still interested in contact. And when things F up, which they inevitably will in the greatest relationships, they always F up, I'm still going to stay.
Yeah.
And my messiness might come forth and your messiness might come forth, and it's going to be scary and intense, and you might cry and I might cry, and we want to figure out how we're doing this. But if we stay in contact, all of a sudden now we're stronger, far stronger than we were before that rupture happened or before the conflict happened. And I can say that all of my very close relationships have, we have gone through hard times and we've come out on the other side stronger for it. And now I don't have a fear that I have to walk a tightrope with them in order to be loved.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be in a spider web of love in a strong, like, spider webs are also very strong. So not a tightrope, my goodness. And I think a lot of people feel like that, which is another fear that women bring to the community space or even just into retreats. Women walk a very straight line in their lives and in their relationships. And it's a particularly straight line with men or people or whoever they're in sexual relationships with. There's like a particular straight line that we feel we have to walk of things that are permitted and allowed. And then there's a particular type of line that we walk with other women based on the wounding that we're carrying too. Like, that's not allowed. This isn't allowed. I can't do that. It's like,
right.
My goodness, we're suffocating and exhausted trying to make ourselves walk like that. And our relationships help us like spread out the path. It's like, it's okay. Actually, you have like way more space to be here. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. Actually, if you can totally step off that line and still be lovable in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we need far more of that.
Yeah. And if any women listening to this have ever walked a human existence where they have been shunned or not allowed back in a group for being themselves, for anything from, I may raise my hand too, where as Brene Brown says, when we're longing for belonging, authenticity versus belonging end up coming in, you know, fighting each other. Like, we will give up authenticity by and large to create belonging. And so in those places in our lives, where we've experienced being out of the group, out of the fold, out of the family, out of the community, out of the group because of a certain opinion, because of a certain way of being, a certain part of us that's just the essence of who we are, to have that broken. I love that this community, because it's true, what's broken in relationship can be healed in relationship. What's broken in community can be healed in community. And one of the phrases that, again, who am I quoting? That said, I can be me with you.
Oh,
that's it. Yeah. Who said that?
Marika? I love that. You mean I can be me with you?
I love that.
Yeah. Such a beautiful statement, simple, and it would change all of our lives if we felt that we could be ourselves in front of whoever we stood in front of.
Right.
That's ultimately freedom, to feel secure enough in ourselves. One of the definitions of authenticity is of undisrupted origin. Which I just love that. And if I imagine being in my authenticity, I'm living within my center. I'm not leaving myself for the sake of your approval. I'm not leaving myself for the sake of losing your love. I'm simply just staying with the self. I'm undisrupted in my core. And we have to have relational imprints that teach us that that's okay. That you can be who you are in front of me and I'll love you. Until we have those imprints, actually, there is no other way to heal it other than someone standing in front of you and in real time loving you as you are.
Yeah.
And that contact in that context will allow more of your authenticity to flourish, to emerge, to have more space inside of you. It has to be done inside of relationship, though. I can be authentic all day walking around the forest by myself. As soon as I get with another person, then it's something squeezes and I get a little bent, to practicing in relationship to actually feel free and whole and settled and secure is essential for a happy life, honestly, for a life that feels free,
and
nice and enjoyable and content to just actually feel safe.
Yeah.
And we have to practice that with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The contact one we could go on for a while. Totally. The fifth one is honor the growth and development process of the space. And specifically you said honor the time, honor your process, honoring the growth process in the group. What does that look like for us in that space?
Yeah. That one is the heart space is any woman can come and join. And we're all on very different paths. One, different parts of the path, different stages of initiation, different moods, different flavors, different, it's wide ranging. And there can be a necessity for all women to hold better space for where we currently are and where others currently are and still be in contact with each other in a way that feels nourishing. Doesn't mean we have to be deeply intimate with every single person in the space, but it does mean that we're honoring the spiritual development process or the maturing process of all of us. We're all here in this life process to become the most full versions of ourselves, and none of us are in the same spot.
Right.
We might be crossing, get pretty close at one point, but then 2 days later, we're in different spots, and so it's an invitation to be compassionate with yourself, with where we are. There's also a way that women can really because we are more oriented towards a masculine way of being just in our society, there can be a way that we have a lot of judgment if we move down or over or we're changing. Mm-hmm. We think if I'm not in this fixed point of high highs, or I'm not where I was 2 weeks ago or last year, or I've gained 5 pounds, or I don't know what's happening in my business, or all of a sudden going through this huge change, we move into judgment, lose contact with ourselves. Or then, and then we can have it for other people too. They're like, they had their shit together 2 weeks ago and now they're not. It's like, that does not belong here. Like, the life process is change. It's change. Specifically, the feminine way is cyclical change, evolution. And there, we can never go backwards. Important to remember that, that you might be standing. I have found myself a lot standing in a place that looks quite similar to other place that I've looked. Like,
it's, wasn't I just here?
Like, yeah. And I'm like, actually, no, I'm 2 inches to the right and I am different. I'm just, this is just similar.
Yeah.
And the moment we move into judgment about that, we collapse creativity again. We break contact. So it's an invitation to really honor where we are as an essential part of our evolution. It's not a backtrack. It's not a place to judge. It's not a place to judge others or have any sort of comparison. It's a celebration of the process of life, whether it's ever changing, witnessing each other and that, honoring that, really.
Being able to learn how to hold that for each other, for yourself too, because I mean, every one of these numbers, it's a sense of this has to be an internal process as foundational. That inner process allows you to then pour out that as with others.
Yeah, there's in one of the, might have been the four pillars videos, I'm not sure if you got those in the beginning, but one of the frames that I also like to just teach from, and you just said the first one, so I'll just go through the other ones real quick, is there's always the relationship with self happening. You're never not having a relationship with self, and it really is fundamental to how we're relating to other people as well. So the way I see it is the relationship with self is essential, and also our relationship with life or God is essential. Those two are like our pillars of how we will then relate with the people in our life. So there's like, if we have wounding with self or with God, we will project that onto the humans we're with.
Yes.
The good news is that healing any of those relational frames, self, God, or other, helps heal the other relational frame. So you can enter wherever you want. You can start with self and it'll overflow to people and God. You can start with God and it'll overflow to people and self. Like, it doesn't really matter. You can start with people and it probably will influence your relational state with the other two. They are connected. You can't touch into one and miss the other ones. But the easiest, not easiest, like the main point of reference is, because you're living inside of your body, start with the self. What is actually going on here? And if I'm not conscious of that, then it's squirting out the sides or projecting out in front of me. And
my
responsibility is like, pull it in first, relate there. And then, you know, a conscious life or like awakened life holds all three relational frames present at all times. Self, other, and life as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, all of those are happening always. It's never just you on the planet. It's never just the planet. You're part of it. It's never just other people. You're part, like, they all happen together. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, it does. I love that. Thank you. That was good. Yeah. The next one is feel, reveal, heal.
Yeah. Simple, but challenging. Feeling is not something most people like to do or not something people like to do, and also not something we've spent a lot of time doing maturely or responsibly. Yeah. So actually touching the truth of our feeling requires us dropping down into the body, into the heart, and away from the mind. And holding the space for the like real, raw underbelly of our human experience.
Yeah.
And being sensitive to ourselves again to actually like feel the reality of what's happening, whether that is like insane ecstasy and joy, or that's like deep grief and confusion. We've become numb as a society, for good reason. And resensitizing to actually be able to feel is, in my opinion, one of the only ways that harmony is going to be restored, because feeling is the feminine.
Yeah.
Form is the masculine. Feeling is the feminine. You want to get in touch with the feminine part of who you are, regardless of gender, then you need to learn how to feel. And it's also the part that's, if we didn't have feeling, like, what would life be about?
Right.
That's literally the thing that is so good, but it's like the thing we fear doing. So learning how to feel ourselves again, and then also learning how to feel others.
Yeah.
And then how to let others feel us. That's the reveal part. Feel first, and then I reveal how I'm feeling to you, which doesn't even mean I need to use words, although that can help, but actually just emoting an authentic feeling for the sake of someone else being with you in it. And that's where this vulnerability and fear comes in. Like, oh my God, what will someone think? But the reality is to be known inside of a feeling, to be met and felt, is one of the most validating things for the human spirit.
Right.
Like, someone is with me in either this pain or this joy or this whatever it is, any kind of feeling, to have someone else with you in that, to be felt and not misunderstood, not projected onto, not missed. You know, if you're feeling something and the only thing you want is for someone to just understand you and they aren't in contact, it's such a slice to us. So feeling first, then revealing that, either just with your own energy and emotion or also with words, is how the healing happens, because that's how we're known by another. And healing only happens inside a relationship. So it's just like an essential step-by-step. This is how we try in a relationship to be known and understood, and to do it for others too, that our actual primary job is to just feel one another.
Yeah.
For the sake of healing.
I love that. Number 7, communicate needs, feedback, grievances, and gratitudes. Kindly and in contact.
Yep. Yeah. That one's because most people don't have a great relationship skill set and don't know how to do contact. They'll either withhold really important information that could improve a community space or that could make a relationship better out of fear that it's not, out of fear that it won't be accepted or valued. Or they're so upset about it. We could get so upset about something that we can't even be in contact. And then we start making up all kinds of stories about what something could mean.
Yeah.
And most people have had a pretty poor demonstration of how to communicate well, specifically when emotions are high or conflict rises. And so we haven't had enough time practicing.
Right.
Sharing something that might have a lot of emotion behind it, or like a need, like expressing a need. It's like so challenging to do that, or expressing like a criticism or a feedback point, or we see it as one way that women do this is like even just saying that they don't like something, or saying no feels like aggressive.
Yeah.
And so in an attempt to be good and nice, like won't give genuine feedback, which is like, that didn't feel good for me. Or like, I didn't like that guest teacher, like because of this reason, or like, or whatever. This isn't okay for me, just in general in life, but also in the community. Your feedback and your opinion and the way that something is affecting you is actually really important. And within healthy relationships, you learn how to bring it. And then you would trust that the person receiving it is interested in your experience. If we have wounding and we're afraid because we think they won't be interested in experience and we don't actually want to bring it. So there's a way that we'll just resist giving our authentic feedback, concerns, questions, things like that, because we've forgotten that we're part of a whole that values us.
Right.
And we lack the skill set to be able to do it kindly and in contact.
Yeah.
Because if something bothers us, usually what happens is we leave contact, we become judgmental, and then we've made up some sort of mental story to like become a victim and villainize, which is not a great dynamic to be stuck in. The only way to break that is to drop back in contact, have an actual shared we space, and then speak to the human that you're speaking to. And there's, if we're projecting onto someone or we're hurt by someone, we can begin to objectify them, which means that they aren't a human anymore. This is something that we're that's an it or a that or that we're upset at. We're not actually in relationship. We don't realize that we can be in conflict and feedback in relationship at the same time.
Yep. I think equally as hard is also the compliments, or being not confident to say what's Like, we can be just as uncomfortable saying what we like about something, or totally, that something was amazing, or, well, if I say that, then I'm going to seem like you know, whatever story there could be that would prevent honesty from any perspective. Definitely compliments too.
Yeah, with ourselves and with each other.
Yeah.
All of this could be self or other, right? Like, there's a way that we can lack, we can need to give ourselves either one of those things.
Right.
Feedback, course correction of, like, that actually wasn't an okay, like, ownership of how we've shown up inside of something. And instead of doing that kindly and in contact with the self,
right,
we might shame ourselves or guilt ourselves or retroflect in a hard way that doesn't actually help things change. And the same with compliments. We'll avoid doing that for ourselves when it's actually, or celebration or gratitude, when actually it's a really healthy part of a ego structure to understand all that we are and celebrate that well.
Yeah.
And honestly, and then yes, with other people too. It's like,
yeah,
it all matters. Like, if within the community space, if you tell me what you're loving, that's great. I can do more, right?
Yeah.
It's like, imagine it's like you're with a lover. It's like, if you say, I really like that, you're probably going to get more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more specific you can be, the better it will probably be for you.
Yeah.
In any way that it doesn't have to mean something about the relationship. It's feedback. It's like, tending to a garden really well together, which I think actually is the last one.
Yes, so, it is.
Is it?
Yeah. Number, become a gardener of the heart is the last one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've never lived somewhere long enough to have a garden consistently, but when I do, I'm going to be really good at it, because I've done it with community for a long time. But I like the idea of imagining that together we're like tending a community garden, and there's like time for pulling weeds, and there's time for planting, and there's time for harvesting. And like, it's a shared responsibility of tending to the soil and, you know, enjoying the beauty and like also enjoying the decay and like bear witnessing to the process of death that has to happen, and the seasonal shifts and the like the fruits that we get to enjoy together. It's like deep nourishment actually to be tending to something together with other people in a way that we used to. It gives as much as we pour into it.
Yeah.
Probably actually more. It gives more than we pour into it if we tend to it consistently and dependably with a lot of love. And I like the idea of when we really tune into nature, there's such an intelligence of the earth, and it can be easy to forget that relationships are also intelligent. Like, there's a creative impulse for union and flourishing between people also. And we can see that when we plant something and we just pour a little water, all of a sudden this like, phew, how the fuck that grew. Like, we don't know how something happens like that, but there's a magic and an intelligence inside of all of life. And that exists inside of people too. There's a soulful brilliance that, if tended to well, comes out and comes out best inside of relationship, and then comes out best inside of community, because we're consequent to the environment that we are within. And if it's tended well, like, we can only emerge as and become as great as our environment is. Like, we are consequent to what we're growing inside of. And so to tend it well and to water it well and to show up well, it's like, wow, the potential of who we can be is so great when we start to see it in relationship to something bigger.
I'm thinking of, you know, my own life, but for the woman listening that, let's say her nervous system isn't quite ready to join a women's group. Maybe there's a gap between, I haven't ever experienced this, but I want to. And I find for myself that bridging that gap between I haven't felt that and I want to is usually grief work and nervous system work, that there are some wounds there that would get me to the side of what I want to experience. And as it relates to women, let's say there's a woman who isn't quite ready for jumping into community, or maybe she in her environment doesn't have that type of community but longs to, where she feels the safety of all of these points that you've just so beautifully explained. What can they do that would be a step toward that, just right where they are outside of a women's group? What would you say? Where do they start when they're like looking at their environment and they're going, I'm not really getting nourished where I am. I feel a lot of isolation. I feel a lot of aloneness. I do get social anxiety around people or women.
Yeah.
But I want to get to this place where I can feel that I appreciate those relationships and I'm nourished by those relationships. Where do they begin?
Okay. A couple of them.
So solve all that.
So good. One thing is, if you have relationships with women in your life now and they just aren't as fulfilling as you'd like them to be, my invitation would be create an opening for more depth there. I totally believe that all of us want intimacy and true connection, even if it isn't happening in the relationships you already have. Someone has to go first to create an opening for something more. So even if it's you have one person in your life, let them feel what you actually want out of relationship with your open heart, with your ability to make contact with them, and also with a verbal invitation. Like, I actually wish that this friendship could explore deeper things. Like, this is what I'm worried about, thinking about, feeling. Are you interested in going there with me?
Like, yeah.
I just want more. So that would be one thing, is just like work with what you have right now instead of being like, because sometimes we can have community, but it's just not what we want. And so we're like, I got to get a totally new one. It's like, what if you just made an opening for what you have to drop down? That might be, you know, the risk of creating an opening for somebody is that maybe they won't meet you in there. And so there's some vulnerability in that, and that's okay. You can, I would say, consistently make as many openings with these people, if they're really valuable to you, as possible. Don't be, you know, badgering. It's a real energetic opening in contact, then it should feel like a really sincere, gentle invitation for them. That's heart guided, not right. Mentally like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
jabbing at them. It's a sincere heart invitation for something more. So be clear on what it is that you actually want as far as connection and relationship goes, and then invite them into that. And then I would say that start to heal your relationship with your own feminine aspect of who you are. So start to feel yourself more so you can actually get in touch with what you're wanting and longing for in your life, relationship wise. And so some of the best practices for me in feeling is to dance every day. Doesn't have to be like good looking dancing. This should be like shaking and moving and making weird sounds. And like, because you also mentioned the nervous system, which is very true in how we are in relationship. Movement and feeling yourself while you move in a non-linear fashion, like in non-structured fashion also. I mean, I've done yoga for many years and I love yoga practice, but it's also structured and predictable. So there's something about like shaking and like rolling and groaning and like wiggling about, either very slow as if you are a Tai Chi master, which I'm not, but sometimes I move like that, or like just spazzing out and screaming into my pillows and just like shaking my nervous system around to practice feeling the range of emotion that's inside of me and, you know, not spatting it at anybody, but just like in a container. Start doing that every day, even just for like one song. Dance, shake, try different emotions out, like try to dance angry and then dance joyously and then dance like an innocent one and then dance like a lusty lover and like move yourself around in weird ways so that you can start to feel your authenticity more. So that, I mean, when we're it's like a resensitizing practice is what I'm going for with that, of like, notice what is happening inside of your body and your heart that you're not paying attention to.
Yeah.
If you start paying attention to it, you probably want to change your life in some way. Doesn't mean you need to change your life completely. It just means like changes will probably ensue because you're listening now.
Yeah.
You want to be a good listener to the self so that you can be a good listener to others. So the others actually want to be a good listener to you. I've noticed that the more I listen to myself, listening in general goes up in all relationships. And that's a really valuable part. So resensitize yourself to your own body and start to pay attention to what's really happening in there. Listen deeply and then tend to it like you're tending to a garden. When you do that, you will notice the things outside of you that don't resonate with a well-tended self. Yeah. If you start actually caring for yourself well and paying, you know, feeling yourself well and becoming more sensitive and attuned, anything that isn't that is going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Then our job is to slowly recognize and take steps towards releasing that, creating an opening for it to change. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to do pulling out the rug from your whole life, but there are ways that we can course correct.
Yeah.
And then spend time in nature. One Dewey's partner, Kimberly Rose, who I've been equally influenced by, says that we're never actually self-regulating. We're always in relationship. We're in relationship with the trees and the rivers, the creatures here, and the sunlight, air, and like we're always in relationship with other. There is there's nowhere that we are where we're not with God, with the planet, with the creatures. Like there's so many ways in which we're in relationship and can be nourished, and immersing ourselves in nature in some way, and actually listening to the bigger body that we're a part of can help reset our nervous system and can teach us what's natural actually for us. The earth teaches us the frequency of which we came and how we can start to like balance our system again and bring harmony again. And the more time we spend there, the less time we're going to want to spend in environments that are devoid of that kind of harmony. It'll stick out like a sore thumb. Like, holy shit, I can't go into something that chaotic anymore because I actually just don't resonate with that space.
Yes.
And I would say this is a quote from someone that was at a retreat with Traver and Jeremy and I one time. One of his takeaways from the retreat was that he was going to go home and he was going to try trying. Yeah. And I thought that was so funny. And I say it all the time because it was like, that's how you literally just try trying. Like no one actually knows. This is just to let every woman know here. Like no one actually knows what they're doing. We are all just trying.
Yeah.
And my best advice there is to just stay in kind contact with yourself and keep trying. Like go to a yoga class. Try to go to try a retreat or a weekend thing or go on a hike or do a meetup thing or put yourself in a new environment. Do it with a friend that maybe you aren't connecting as deeply as you like. Go with her. Go to a cacao circle. Like go to a sound healing. Go to a art class. Like try something new. Just like try it and then notice like if I'm not freaking out, is there something about this that I actually like?
Right.
You know, because sometimes the first initial hit is like, this is new because I'm disturbing homeostasis. I'm freaking out. It's like, well, if you breathe and like you relax your jaw and your butthole, then is there something here that actually feels good? And then see what happens. Like, and then if it feels good, like put yourself in that environment again and see what comes of it, you know?
I want this on a bumper sticker. Relax your jaw, relax your butthole, because that is literally doula work. Like that is what I would tell clients all the time. Like the contraction comes, it's time to let the contraction out. It's like relax and let it out, but relax. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think Zoe said this. Kimberly Rose, Dewey's husband, wife, partner. Sorry.
Yes.
She says that you can't be in judgment and contact at the same time. And then my friend Zoe, who leads Heart Space with me, she said that when you're in judgment, usually your butthole's tight and your jaw's tight. Somatically,
yes,
if you relax those, then you actually regain a sense of sovereignty of your own energy, breathing usually deeper, your faculties start to come online, anxiety lessens, and then you can actually have a real-time experience of whether you like being where you are. And then just continuing, if you don't mind, I'll just go with like, actually just start to pay attention to the shit that you're doing in your life that you don't like.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ways, like something that you could ask yourself, and this will change your life, is like, look at every area in your life where you're saying yes and you mean no. Or you're saying yes and you just don't mean it.
Yeah.
And then also look at the areas of your life where you're saying no and you don't mean it. And you actually mean yes or you mean something else. That'll that'll give you some stark awareness of incongruencies. And if it's incongruent, you know exactly where to start to rearrange something. We just have to have the courage to start shifting the why we're doing that. And so there's tons of people we're hanging with or environments we're putting ourselves in that actually don't feel good. And we are just numb to the self to the degree that we aren't making a change. And so a byproduct of doing a movement and shaking and a resensitizing practice is like, you won't be able to lie to yourself about how things are anymore.
Yeah.
That's humbling, but ultimately it is very freeing and liberating to just be able to admit that, to be that honest about the things that are not working or feeling good. And then to cultivate the courage to make a change. Stopping doing the things we don't like is half of the healing process. And then trying other things and other people and things that are more authentically motivated from the center of you outward. If I didn't fill my time with things I've always done, what would I do? I didn't fill my time with people I've always been with. Who might I meet? I didn't go to the same places or eat the same things or do the same activities. What would change? We're made up of all of those things that sometimes we aren't even consciously choosing anymore.
Yeah.
And also just know that it will feel weird. I think I kind of said that, like you might feel the like anxiety or, you know, relax the jaw, but even in the context that you come to a retreat and you like know the container set, or you get into the heart space and you're like, you know, it's already there. It's still does, just because the container's there doesn't mean you're going to automatically relax. There's still like, what do I do with my hands? Like, whoa, is this okay? We have to have the validation of like, it's okay to be who we are. And we have to have the, we have to be met in relationship for the nervous system to really get it that you're safe here. And so it isn't just easy for everyone in the beginning. And it isn't easy for a while, but our system does learn that we're safe here, that this is actually really important, and that this is a nourishing, a part of who we are as women that's been atrophied for a long time and is actually very necessary for not just the happiness in our lives, but for generations to come. And for a far bigger ring than just our immediate circle, like the feminine love, true internal sovereignty and power, like that has to come back online soon, in my opinion, if we want to see a shift in the bigger world.
And to close, if you could tell us and what's been healed for you since working so in depth in this community and creating the community, but also being a part of the community. What are the ways that you've seen what's been restored and healed and transformed for you?
I kind of touched on it before, but because I do think that this is one of the main things is feeling secure within the fullness of who I am inside of my relationships. And this, you know, I think it's unique for each person based on the wounding that we carried. But so much of the belief I carried about myself was that I had to be a certain way in order to be loved. And that leaned towards perfectionism or like, you know, I had to help. I had to like be in a specific role in order for me to feel valued by those around me. And I think the biggest thing that I've healed is that I'm loved for just being. I don't have to do anything for anyone. And I can be sad and falling apart. Like I just went through a bigger transition over the last year of my life where a lot of things dismantled. And I was like, everything I knew myself to be is falling apart. And somehow all these people still love me. That's incredible. It was so relieving to know that like, I didn't have to hold up the like strong teacher face or like the all loving, joyous one in order to still be valued and held and deeply met and loved by those around me. All of who I am is allowed, like the one who has no fucking idea and is like crying on the floor or who's like really intense and frustrated that love doesn't stop when I move out of the range of what's normal or socially allowed. That love can meet everything. More of me has come online. I occupy more of my body now because others have told me it's okay to do so and loved me through it. Yeah. In essence, I feel that I, through those, through the community in this process of being with others who are trying along with me, I feel like I've become an adult. Mm. And I really feel that we live in a world filled with mostly juveniles and adult bodies who really haven't taken the process of initiation at heart and learned the skill set of like mature relating and deep spiritual development for the sake of generations to come and humanity and how it is. I feel really proud of being able to say that, like, I have matured.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can give my gifts, and I trust that I can stand in almost any situation, and the love I have to share won't stop. Mm. It isn't going to collapse if I don't like what you said. It isn't going to collapse if we disagree on political views. It isn't going to collapse if you project onto me or are hateful. I'm going to be able to hold the flame of love no matter what.
Yeah.
Because it's been done for me, and I've had time to practice doing it and not collapsing it. So that's the greatest gift I've gotten from the heart space. And then it pours out into my relational world to like yeah. trust that I won't lose love no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, such good. I mean, I have 15 more questions.
I got time. I don't know how long we want to listen to podcasts, but I'm down.
I'm gonna take you up on the offer. You said we may have to do this again. So I definitely do. I just think the work that you're doing is so incredibly powerful, because it's not easy to go after us women. You're shaking your head.
No, it's not.
That's not, especially given the culture of, like we've talked about, the lone wolf, even among women, or just the stories that we have in our head of like, this is just the way it is. Like, you cannot push against these narratives, and they're well fortified and solid with some solid wounds. And so your invitation to look within and to question and to be able to ask, and then also to receive, like, hey, here's a place where we can hold you in that work, is so beautiful and powerful. So yeah. I'm going to link all the places we can find you, but can you tell us where people can find you?
Yeah, I appreciate you, Rachel, and I love having you part of the community. You add so much already. So
I really
appreciate it. And it's a living, breathing thing. So what you add to it is essential for the wholeness of it. The heart space is the-heart-space.com. We're going to make some shifts soon, actually, to where the doors will just stay open for people to enroll, but they're not open right now, but you can join the wait list if you want. And then my website is leiladylla.com. And that's all my like private mentorship and retreats that I have coming up, courses, things like that. And then my Instagram is leila.dilla. Not super active on there right now, but I'll get back to it.
Yes.
I got some other things in the work, but that's what I got so far.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.